This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget to get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're back to the most boring press conference in history. I'm ready to drive off a bridge. Here's Joe Biden.
Technical capability, leaving Russia because they see no future there. They've got a problem. But what they do have control of is they are very good at controlling and running the public outcry that relates to how they use mechanisms to communicate with people. They lie like hell through the constituencies. They lie like hell about what's going on. And so the idea that we're going to be able to fundamentally change Russia in the near term is not likely. But one thing for certain, if we allow Russia to succeed in Ukraine, they're not stopping in Ukraine. I recommend, I know you know this because you've written about it, read Putin's speech after they moved in, what it was all about in Kyiv. It wasn't about just, anyway, read what his objective is. And anyway, but so I think that I'm prepared to talk to any leader who wants to talk, including if Putin called me and wanted to talk. Last time I talked to Putin was trying to get him to work on an arms control agreement related to nuclear weapons in space. That didn't go very far. So my point is, I'm prepared to talk to anybody, but I don't see any inclination. There is an inclination on the part of the Chinese to keep in contact with me, because they're not sure where this all goes. And look what's happened in Asia. We have strengthened the Asian Pacific area more than anyone else has. We just put together with today, I asked our NATO allies that we bring on the group from the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, Australia. I already mentioned Australia. And I met twice now, I think, with the 14 leaders of the Pacific Island nations. And we've slowed down what's going on there. We've slowed down China's reach. But there's a lot of work to do. This is a moving target, and I don't take it lightly. Assam from NPR.
Thank you, Mr. President. Asma Khalid with NPR. I have two questions. Earlier, you spoke about the ceasefire plan between Israel and Hamas. We're now looking at 10 months of war, and I'm curious if there's anything that you feel personally you wish you would have done differently over the course of the war. And then secondly, if I may, I wanted to ask you about your presidential campaign. I remember covering your campaign in 2020, and there was a moment where you referred to yourself as a, quote, bridge candidacy, a transition to a younger generation of leaders. I want to understand what changed.
Two things. Let's go back to when you talked about would I have changed anything that's happening with Israel and the Palestinians and the Palestinian movement. The answer is, as you recall, from the very beginning, I went to Israel, but I also got immediate contact with al-Sisi in Egypt. I met with the King of Jordan. I met with most of the Arab leaders to try to get a consensus going as to what had to be done to deal with getting more aid and food and medicine into the Gaza Strip. And we pushed it really hard. And Israel occasionally was less than cooperative, number one. The Israeli War Cabinet, I've been dealing with Israel since Golda Meir. Some of the reporters around here come here all the time and heard me say this. The first time I met with Golda Meir, I sat across from her at her desk, and her assistant was Rabin, sitting next to me. That's how far back I go. I know Israel well, and I support Israel. But this war cabinet is one of the most conservative war cabinets in the history of Israel. And there's no ultimate answer other than a two-state solution here. And so what was able to be done in terms of the plan I put together was it would be a process for a two-state solution. And we get the Arab nations to, particularly from Egypt all the way to Saudi Arabia, to be in a position where they would cooperate in the transition so that they could keep the peace in Gaza without Israeli forces staying in Gaza. The question has been from the beginning, what's the day after in Gaza? And the day after in Gaza has to be, the end of the day after has to be no occupation by Israel on the Gaza Strip, as well as the ability for us to access, get in and out as rapidly as you can, all that's needed there. I've been disappointed that some of the things that I've put forward have not succeeded as well, like the port reattached from Cyprus. I was hopeful that would be more successful. But that's why when I went to Israel immediately after the massacres that occurred at the hands of Hamas, the one thing I said to the Israelis, and I met with the War Cabinet and with Bibi, don't make the same mistake America made after bin Laden. There's no need to occupy anywhere. Go after the people who did the job. You may recall, I guess, still get criticized for it, but I was totally opposed to the occupation and trying to unite Afghanistan. Once we got bin Laden, we should have moved on, because it was not in our, no one's ever going to unite that country. I've been over every inch of that, not every inch, the entirety from the poppy fields all the way to the north. I said, don't make the same mistake we made. Don't think that's what you should be doing, is doubling down. We'll help you find the bad guys, Sinwar and company. And all this criticism about I wouldn't provide when the weapons they needed. I'm not providing them 2,000 pound bombs. They cannot be used in Gaza or any populated area without causing great human tragedy and damage. But remember what happened when you had the attack on Israel with rockets and ballistic missiles. I was able to unite the Arab nations as well as Europe, and nothing happened. Nothing got hurt. It sent an incredible lesson to what was going on from the Middle East. So there's a lot of things in retrospect I wish I had been able to convince the Israelis to do. But the bottom line is we have a chance now. It's time to end this war. Doesn't mean walk away from going after Sinwar and Hamas. And if you notice, you know better than most, there is a growing dissatisfaction on the West Bank from the Palestinians about Hamas. Hamas is not popular now. And so there's a lot of moving parts. I just have to keep moving to make sure that we get as much done as we can toward a ceasefire, and get those. And by the way, look at the numbers in Israel. I mean, I my numbers are better in Israel than they are here. But then again, they're better than a lot of other people here too. But anyway.
Bridge candidacy in 2020, you referred to yourself as being a bridge candidate for a younger, fresher generation of Democratic leaders, and I wanted to know what changed.
What changed was the gravity of the situation I inherited in terms of the economy, our foreign policy, and domestic division. And I think, I won't put words in anybody's mouth, most presidential historians give me credit for having accomplished more than most any president since Johnson and maybe before that to get major pieces of legislation passed. And what I realized was my long time in the Senate had equipped me to have the wisdom to know how to deal with the Congress to get things done. We got more major legislation passed that no one thought would happen. And
they
I want
really
to
need to drop.
To get that
they
finished.
Really, really need to drop Joe Biden tomorrow, off the ticket, like a phone call from T-Mobile. That's how fast he needs to be dropped. You don't still have T-Mobile, do you? Please tell me you've switched to Pure Talk by now. Pure Talk, you see, 5G network. Pure Talks, they'll let you keep your phone. They'll let you keep your phone number. And they don't take the money you pay them every month and use it to abuse you and abuse your country. That's the beauty of Pure Talk. Their CEO fought for this country, freaking Vietnam veteran. Pure Talk. Switch. Turn off the boring press conference for 5 minutes. Talk to an American who speaks English on the phone. They hire Americans who speak English here in America. And switch your cell phone. Do something good tonight while we're all dying of boredom listening to this old man try to speak. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We will be back with more press coverage, which I hope ends soon. I miss my show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. He's still talking by the grace of God. I think he's almost done. So here it is, Joe Biden.
Okay. Although I do have a little problem with my left foot because it's not as sensitive because I broke my foot and didn't wear the boot. But I'm good. I'm tested every single day by my neurological capacity to decisions I make every day. You talk to my staff. All of you talk to my staff. Sometimes my staff talks a lot, but the fact of the matter is, I don't think you have them telling you that all the major ideas we've undertaken haven't been in part initiated by me. I remember with the staff, I said, I'm going to go to South Korea. We're going to get the chip. What are you doing? I'm going to get Japan and Korea back together again after essentially having hostilities toward one another since the end of World War II. I'm going to move and see that we can expand. You know, the only thing age does is help you with it. Creates a little bit of wisdom if you pay attention. And so the point I'm making is, I think it's important that if the neurologist tells me he thinks I need another exam. And by the way, I've laid every bit of the record out. Hadn't hidden a thing. You ought to ask Trump for his, okay? I laid it all out. And every single day, I'm surrounded by good docs. If they think there's a problem, I promise you. Or even if they don't think it's a problem, they think I should have a neurological exam again, I'll do it. But no one's suggesting that to me now. And I'll ask you another question. No matter what I did, no one's going to be satisfied. Did you have 7 docs? Did you have 2? Who'd you have? Did you do this? How many times did you? So I am not opposed if my doctors tell me I should have another neurological exam. I'll do it. But that's where I am. Haley Bull, Scripps.
Oh my gosh, how
much
longer?
Thank you, Mr. President. You said you're making decisions on a day-to-day basis when it comes to support for Ukraine. Does that mean you have not closed the door on further considering lifting restrictions for U.S.-made weapons inside Russia? And if I may, your convention is coming up where your delegates are pledged to make you the official nominee. If they have second thoughts, are they free to vote their conscience?
Obviously, they're free to do whatever they want, but I get overwhelming support. Overwhelming support. I won, I forget how many votes I won in the primary. Overwhelming. And so tomorrow, if all of a sudden I show up at the convention, everybody says we want somebody else, that's the democratic process. It's not going to happen.
Even if that means they vote for someone else?
Sure. Look, I'll end this with this. I served in the Senate a long time. I understand the impetus of candidates running for local office and whether they think the topic can help them or not. In my state of Delaware, which was a very, at least a purple, it was a red state when I started, in terms of we now talk red and blue. I don't recall most of the Democratic presidents winning my state when I was a candidate. The truth of the matter is I understand the self-interest of a candidate. If they think that, you know, running with Biden at top is going to hurt them, then they're going to run away. I get it. But so far, go and look at the polling data in their states. Look at the in-depth, and by the way, I think you'd all acknowledge, and you're all experts, I'm not being solicitous about the president, you're experts on this stuff. How accurate does anybody think the polls are these days? I can give you a series of polls where you have likely voters, me versus Trump, where I win all the time. When the unlikely voters vote, he wins sometimes. The bottom line is all the polling data right now, which I think is premature because the campaign really hasn't even started. I mean, it hadn't started in earnest yet. Most of the time, it doesn't start till after September, after Labor Day. So a lot can happen. But I think I'm the best qualified. I know, I believe I'm the best qualified to govern. And I think I'm the best qualified to win. But there are other people who could beat Trump, too. But it's awful start from scratch. And, you know, we talk about, you know, money raised. We're not doing bad. We got about $220 million in the bank. We're doing well. So with that, you have any want to follow up on any of that? You just asked me.
Yes. You earlier explained confidence in your vice president.
Yes.
If your team came back and showed you data that she would fare better against former President Donald Trump, would you reconsider your decision to stay in the race?
No, unless they came back and said, there's no way you can win. Me. No one's saying that. No poll says that.
Okay. This ends tonight's press conference. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, we got it. You know what? It's getting embarrassing. It's over. They're shouting things at him now. I guess he's still standing at the... Oh, never mind. Go back, Chris. He's still on. Go back.
Right now, Donald Trump is using that to mock your age and your memory. How do you combat that criticism from tonight?
Listen to him.
This concludes tonight's press conference. Thank you.
Okay, so here's my initial analysis of all this, and I've seen people saying all kinds of things. He was terrible, and the most common theme I see is that it was terrible. Obviously, it was the weird whispering, the shouting. He sounded awful. He just sounded old. He sounded really, really old and shot. He sounded like a shot fighter, is what he sounded like. My take on it, and I certainly could be wrong, maybe this is just a confirmation bias take because I've always said they were going to bounce him out of the race. My take on it is he couldn't afford to be okay tonight. He is facing public cries from powerful Democrats to leave. Those have gone public. An average night, which that probably was for him, that's an average night. For any normal politician, it'd be a disaster. For an average night was not good enough. Joe Biden had to get up there and prove to Democrats tonight that he is full of whatever it takes to beat Donald Trump. Did he do that? Not a chance. I think that is it. I think that is the last one of those we're going to see. But by the grace of God on high, it's over. So now we can go back and do some more radio, all right? We'll do a little bit of inflation talk and a couple other things. We'll talk a little bit more about this Biden stuff. I have a couple clips to replay. Before we get to those things, let's get to this. Do keep in mind that that person you just heard, he's still spending a lot of money destroying the value of the dollar. And despite what the headlines said today, inflation's really, really, really bad. Grocery prices are up again. Everything's up again, pretty much. That's why you need to buy hard assets. Hard assets. Prepare for a rocky economy. That's what Done For You Real Estate is all about. Start acquiring properties. Not a bunch at once. One. Start with one. Walk with Done For You Real Estate. They'll handle it all for you. They'll find them. They'll handle the financing, everything. Walk with Done For You Real Estate through this whole thing, and you might just find yourself with 10 of them. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a night where that boring freaking press conference dominated like half the show. That was brutal. Like I said, my thoughts on it, my thoughts on it are this. I think he's done. I think that's it. The system very clearly was shoving him out the door before this. Democrats going public, Democrat donors going public, people who are in his corner going public with the fact he needs to leave. He couldn't afford to have even an okay press conference. And of course, that was a disaster. Look, things like this, this is not enough.
I love my staff, but they add things all the time. At the very end, I'm catching hell from my wife for that. Anyway.
Whining about his staff adding things to his schedule. What? That's not enough. That's not enough to calm people's fears. Look, this stuff.
Sir, how can you reassure the American people that you won't have more bad nights, whether they be on a debate stage or on some matter of foreign policy?
Well, I tell you what, the best way to assure them is the way I assure myself. And that is, am I getting the job done? Am I getting the job done? Can you name me somebody who's got more major piece of legislation passed in 3.5 years? I created 2,000 jobs just last week. So if I slow down, I can't get the job done. That's a sign that I shouldn't be doing it. But there's no indication of that yet. None.
It just, yeah, no indication at all.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president.
Whatever. It was bad. I maintain my prediction that he's going, but I could be wrong. Maybe he's going to dig his heels in and they're not going to blackmail him. I did see he brought up Project 2025 again. They are really leaning into this Project 2025 and Trump's Project 2025.
Right now, what they are trying to do is institute Nazism 2.0 in the United States. And guess what? It's going to be us. It's going to be on the receiving end of all of it. So I could go on and on and on about the terrible things that are in there. But the basis of it, they're saying it has to be Christianity. And the fact is, everything has to be really Christo-fascism.
Christo-fascism, man, that's a scary word.
Project 2025 is an obvious and chilling blueprint for a Christo-fascist future. And Trump knows that that is top.
Yeah, these people. All right. Let's just do some emails, shall we? Do not forget, tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email your questions right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Brother, I have to say, I consider you the greatest talent on radio far and away. I agree with this guy. What, Chris? I agree with him. He said, I miss your show a lot as you come on late in my area, but when I catch you, I'm blown away by your style. Keep it up. You know that if you miss the show live, you know that you can download a podcast of the show. You can just podcast it. Like half our listeners podcast it the next day. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you miss it, podcast the daggone thing. All right, I wanted to address this. Navy just came out with a report. Record high suicides. High stress, quality of life issues. Suicides are one of those things. They're horrible to talk about, but suicides within the military, it's something that should be discussed more because they're so common. It is so common now, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. It's horrible, beyond horrible. And an aspect of inflation, because again, the inflation numbers came out today, and they were horrible. The headline was inflation went down 0.1%, but if you get two paragraphs into any article, you'll find out everything in your life got more expensive. Everything in your life. Food, everything's up. Everything's up again. Well, in the military,
There are quality of life issues that I saw firsthand that create stresses and strains, especially when it comes to marriages and families. Financial stress is one of the main reasons couples fight. It's one of the main reasons couples divorce. And I remember how brutal it was on married families when I was in the Marines, because this just look, it's not a job you should join to make money. Obviously, it's not. You don't want people joining it to get rich. But when inflation goes up like this, we have people, we have active duty people in the military on food stamps right now. You realize that? That's friggin' awful. And it's getting worse and worse and worse as the command rots and rots and rots, as these dirty communists take over everything and they get more selfish and more corrupt and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong. Then the troops on the ground feel that more than anyone else. It's awful. I hate it. Fry Daddy, I see these polls where Trump is up in a few states, a few swing states like Michigan. I question the accuracy of these polls. Do pollsters realize people move, don't vote there now? Okay, so let's because of Joe Biden's disastrous speech, and let's just approach the Joe Biden thing as if he's staying in, which, as you know, I don't believe, but let's approach it as if he's staying in. What do we believe right now? Well, it's obvious that Donald Trump is more popular than Joe Biden. It's obvious that Donald Trump is also more popular than Joe Biden in the swing states where he has to win. Remember, national polls mean nothing. The second you see a national poll, national presidential poll shows Trump up two, any national poll should be completely disregarded. Elections come down, presidential elections come down to swing states. Texas is not in doubt. California is not in doubt. I have breaking news for you as a journalist who just covered that press conference live. California is going to go for Joe Biden this November, and South Carolina is going to go for Donald Trump this November. Breaking news. That doesn't matter. It's the swing states that matter. The Sun Belt states, the Georgias, the Arizonas, those states. But more importantly for this election, it's the Rust Belt states of Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Thankfully, Ohio is now solidly red. That was a purple state for most of my life where it could go either way, and there are piles of Electoral College votes sitting there in Ohio. But thankfully, that's ours. Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan. Trump lost all three of those states last time. He needs those states, two of the three at least, if he wants to be president probably next time. It's the Wisconsin polls, the Michigan polls, and the Pennsylvania polls that actually matter. I just want to caution you, it's July. It's July 11th. Don't start celebrating too early just because their candidate is a complete, unmitigated disaster. Don't celebrate too early. There's a ton of work to do, and those three Rust Belt states I just brought up are the three states who've really bent over backwards to loosen the election day integrity. They've done everything they can do to make sure voting is really easy. Maybe even voting a lot. Maybe even voting after you're dead. Maybe voting after you moved. When you have unmanned drop boxes. Remember, do you remember last time? Remember, this is probably going to get your blood pressure up, just bringing it up. You remember last time Pennsylvania, states like Pennsylvania, they were allowing the counting of mail-in votes 5 days after the election. That's how horrible and corrupt and wrong the presidential elections are run in these places. And when they say, when they brag about Philadelphia, remember Joe Biden got up, had another verbal vomit episode the other day where he said, I was always banking on Philadelphia when he was running for Senate in Delaware. But it's not an accident he was talking about Philadelphia. Democrats running for president have known for the longest time, Philadelphia is a really, 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 really great place to massage some numbers, if you will. Massage some numbers. What a great way to put that, isn't it, Chris? You're just jealous you didn't think about that. Anyway, we have a segment left. We'll do as much as we can possibly do in the one segment we have, and then we'll have Ask Dr. Jesse Friday tomorrow, and that'll be fantastic, all right? There'll be no Biden press conferences tomorrow. Do remember, You don't want brain fog. You probably already have it, don't you, fellas? Does this sound like you at all?
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president.
You know when you get your T levels up, that fog in your brain disappears? It just disappears. You probably don't even realize you have it. But are you down a lot? You get depressed? You know that low T levels bring that about too. Ladies, are you out of gas? 2-3 in the afternoon? Are you tired? I'm not talking about your car, which I'm sure is out of gas. Are you exhausted in the afternoon? Try some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. You will feel the difference. It's not as if you start taking this stuff and you're just kind of, well, I hope it's working. You know, 90 days, huge discounts on subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. That's chok.com, promo code Jesse, or call them 50-CHALK-3000. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Do not forget to email your questions in for tomorrow. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. All 3 hours I'll be answering those. And remember what I just said earlier about how he had to do more than that. Joe Biden had to do more than that. Just surviving, just not pooping his pants. I know he sounded terrible. It was awful, but he had to have a great night in order to save himself, and he didn't. And Democrats are already going on television, and this is Representative Doggett. Let's listen to what he says.
Did you see anything at all tonight during that press conference to make you potentially reconsider your position?
Not really. I thought the president did a good job. I think he clearly is the most qualified person to handle our international relations. But the question before us, is he the most qualified person to turn around the undecided and the independents who have refused to join him over the past year, and now complicated by the setback when we needed a surge that he had during the debate?
Yeah.
Every time there's a split.
It wasn't enough. It just wasn't good enough. It was stuff like this. When the president of the United States of America is having to answer question after question after question about his fitness for office, his energy level, he refuses. He refused once again. No, I'm not going to take any neurological test. That again tells you everything you need to know, because he could never pass one in a million years. And when you answer things like this, it doesn't calm a single fear.
I love my staff, but they add things all the time. The very end, I'm catching hell from my wife for that. Anyway.
Complaining about his staffers adding things to his schedule. Yeah, are you fit enough to do the job? Absolutely, I feel great, but gosh, these staffers keep adding meetings and phone calls and stuff, and it's just breaking me down. It's not enough. He needs to retire to Delaware, whatever beach place he seems to live at half the time. He needs to retire and surround himself with MyPillow products, especially now that there's a $25 extravaganza sale going on. You know Joe Biden has financial problems, right? He refinances his house every 17 months. Can you believe that? Chris just blew a gasket. Every 17 months, he refinances his house. This is a man who needs to jump on this $25 extravaganza sale from MyPillow. He can get the premium MyPillow right now for $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Two-pack of multi-use MyPillows, $25. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com. You click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. Joe, are you listening? Promo code Jesse. And take advantage of it. Or call them. Or Joe, have one of your staffers call them. Maybe that would be better. The MyPillow people are wonderful on the phone, but they probably talk a little too fast for Joe. 800-845-0544. Joe and you, take advantage of that whole thing. I want to touch on this really quickly, so I was just bringing up the Navy stuff before I get to headlines I didn't get to. I just wanted to bring this up. This is from Unusual Whales today. 11% of men aged 25 to 54 don't have a job and aren't looking for one. 11%. Back in 1955, that number was 3%. 11% of men in their prime earning years aren't even looking for work right now. I am increasingly sad about how sad Americans are. And maybe this is just a phase. Maybe it's just an economic thing, spiritual thing. There are a lot of things you can use to explain it. But every time I see one of these polls about how are you feeling, what are you doing, it saddens me that so many people are so sad out there. And that is one of the things we have got to tackle. That's a large, broader issue. You can't really make it a campaign slogan, right? There's no way to reverse that. And honestly, politicians can't reverse that. They can make it worse, destroy the economy and the dollar and things like that, but they can't really reverse that. But that is one of those things that we have to tackle big time in this country.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Milk, eggs, and now bullets for sale in a handful of U.S. grocery stores with ammo vending machines.
You know, freedom is not free.
Gosh, I love this country so much. NPR CEO calls for restoring a sense of imagination to rebuild trust in democracy. This is what happens when you go right from some liberal arts college with some useless degree, and you spend your entire life working for nonprofits and newsrooms and Democrat congressmen. You end up talking like this in these just huge, meaningless slogans that don't explain anything at all. What does that even mean? Restoring a sense of imagination. Gosh, these friggin' hippies. Record number of Chinese military aircraft surround Taiwan. So the Chinese Navy is amassing around Taiwan. The Chinese Air Force is amassing around Taiwan. And the President of the United States of America talks like this.
And now I want to hand it over to the President of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin.
I wonder if Xi Jinping is going to be intimidated by the big boy press conference.
Big boy press conference. Big boy press conference. A big boy press conference. Hold a press conference. A big boy press conference.
A press conference. I guess a big boy press conference. Yes. Is what we're calling it. The press conference. The big boy press conference. y'all are planning to have.
Gives his press conference. His big boy press conference.
CNN to cut 100 jobs in a shift to a subscription model. See, it's not all bad news out there. Hawley, Peters, Merkley, Ossoff announced first ever bipartisan agreement to advance a bill barring Congress members from stock trading. Well, this bill is going to die really, really fast because that's half the reason most of these people are there. For some reason, the congressional stock portfolios always look better than yours and mine. I wonder why that is. U.S.-Mexico moved to thwart China's circumvention of tariffs. I only read this headline not because I wanted to talk about the story, because I would nail that word the first time, and I did. What, Chris? Don't be jealous. Milwaukee radio station says it agreed to edit an interview with Joe Biden. The entirety of Joe Biden's presidency and before his presidency, his candidacy has been very carefully scripted and laid out, and you're just now hearing it from the media because they're worried Joe Biden might lose an election. Remember, just like I said before, all those media people in there tonight asking all those tough questions of Joe, they were all the same people who've been covering for him for the entire time. Don't give any of them an ounce of credit. Luna moves to force a vote on fining Garland $10,000 per day. That was the vote that failed because 4 Republicans voted against it and 12 Republicans couldn't be bothered to show up to work. You, send me an Ask Dr. Jesse question for tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We'll have some fun. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.